Mark in the Morning comes to you from the studios of 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles. In Southern California, hear it happen live without a net from 6 to 10 a.m. Weekdays on 100.3 FM.
There was a little bit of drama there because we were counting down. Danny, get Mark ready.
Yeah.
I put on my headphones. I couldn't hear anything. Upon further investigation, they weren't plugged in. Yeah.
I think that goes under the category of Danny not getting Mark ready.
That's right. And then I heard Gina go, oh, God. So we're starting with drama.
Yeah.
It's just what it is. All right. Today, first of all, you ever heard of Mingeray?
No.
I'll get into it. It's the thing. It exists. Lingerie for men.
Okay.
Mingeray. Do you see what they did? Too good. The most liked and the least liked NFL teams in the NFL.
Stop looking at me.
Wait, no. There's no reason for me to not look at you.
Oh, wow.
They're not there.
Oh, wow.
On either side. Mm. That's a victory with the Raiders.
Yeah.
That's
our first victory in
a long as you're unnoticed, you're fine.
What is the most difficult part of breaking up your relationship, especially if it's committed? Mm. I'll share that with you. Gina's got something at 7:50. Let me look. Okay, I don't trust it.
Yeah,
because I don't know what it is.
Well, it's not just me, but there's something that just needs to be addressed. No biggie, whatever. Just make sure you're here. Don't get freaked out and leave.
7:50, I looked at my schedule. I'm good.
Okay.
I can be here.
Great.
Six reasons today doesn't suck. Pretty sizable Rams news, and we'll probably share that prior to Todd, and then he can elaborate. That's what Todd does, elaborate. Oh, God, plane scare. Crazy. If I was on a plane when this happened, I'd just jump out.
Oh, Lord.
And apparently, if you're a cop, you cannot have sex in your police cruiser. Hmm. Details coming your way on this Thursday, plus Jackie's Throwback Thursday. It's Mark in the Morning. An American Airlines flight from Dallas to Seattle had to turn around and make an emergency landing yesterday after flames began shooting out of one of its engines while in flight. Flight 438 carrying 130 passengers had just taken off when people reported hearing a boom. People on the ground noticed the fire coming from the plane engine and called police. Once the pilot realized the emergency, he quickly turned the plane around and returned safely to Dallas.
Quick question. As the pilot, as the captain of this ship, shouldn't you be the first person to notice flames shooting out of your engine?
You'd like to think that's the case.
Oh, my God. Captain Sully, he's not.
Yeah, the passengers reported hearing a boom.
Oh, Lord.
And then you could see the flames coming from the ground, and they called cops.
I would walk everywhere for the rest of my life, and I don't care if there's a body of water in between me and where I'm going.
What is the scariest thing you have experienced on an airplane?
Well, I would have to say just your run-of-the-mill, really bad turbulence. Mm. As a kid, I thought it was really fun, you know, a roller coaster. But have you noticed, was this true for you? As I got older, I became afraid of flying. I was never afraid of flying as a kid.
Well, I think,
and as an adult, it's the worst.
Well, I think when you're a kid, you don't really realize what's happening.
You don't
realize you're in a tube that has taken off the ground. You're 35,000 feet in the air.
And I think, I don't know if it was a psychologist or I saw it on TV, somebody said that it's because when you're a kid, you're not in control of anything anyway. So you get shuttled onto a plane. Okay, it's another thing in my life I'm not in control of. But when you're an adult and you're in control of so many things in your life and you're doing this and you're doing that, and then you just sit in a chair and trust somebody else to get you where you're going and not kill you, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I think that's because you realize it when you're older and then you go, I should be freaked out by
this. Yes.
Yeah. A lot of people are. In fact, I was on a flight. This was a couple of years ago. And we were taxiing. And all of a sudden, the plane stops, turns around, and goes back to the gate.
Oh, God.
A woman, this was right before Thanksgiving. This woman who apparently was deathly afraid of flying had taken the classes.
Oh, yeah,
To not be afraid. And the guy came back, one of the pilots that was in the class with her said she did so well, but she had to get off. Couldn't do it. And all her kids were with her. They were probably going to go see grandma or somebody.
Well, that's
and
not
they,
happening.
And they could, next year, grandma, come to me.
Wait, I'm sorry. I just remember what mine was. Mm. I was flying home to Kansas City, and we were about an hour into the flight. And I will never forget. I don't know how I forgot this. The flight attendant gets on, this dude, and goes,
"We are so sorry, but we just realized that the main door is open, so we're going to go ahead and turn around."
The door is open? Is the door allowed to be open? We had to fly back to LAX. I called my mom and said, "I'm not coming." She goes, "You're coming. You're coming." So I had to get on the one with the door not open to go back on the second flight.
Wow. I've been on two flights where somebody was removed.
Really? Have you ever seen who the air marshal is midair because they had to take control of a situation?
No, I have not.
Oh, I want to see that.
Is there always an air marshal on board?
There can't be. There's a billion flights a day, but I think there's generally somebody.
Yeah.
That's packing.
Yeah, you're the air marshal. Don't you just want to know who the air marshal is on your flight? If it's a big flight, maybe cross-country or international, there's always an air marshal.
There was a pretty good movie I saw with Liam Neeson. He was playing an air marshal, and his phone dings. And it's somebody on the airplane that knows it's him, that he's the air marshal, and they had sabotaged the flight.
Oh, God.
But as the movie went along, it made it look like it was the air marshal that had done it.
What movie is this?
I can't remember.
I saw it too. It was so good.
It really was good.
Did they sabotage the flight by taking away all the kosher meals, which are really the best ones?
Now that's hard.
That's a tragedy.
That's tough. That's hard to go down.
Yeah.
Did you get it, Mikey?
No, he's done so many movies. I'm only like halfway through.
Liam Neeson in Air Marshal.
Nonstop.
I don't really remember that movie.
Yeah. Hey, pretty good.
All right.
Yeah. If you want to see, look, Liam Neeson, he has become, what is he, 60-something? He has become the action figure of today.
Absolutely.
That one is pretty good.
Okay.
So check it out when you get a chance. Yeah.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, I do. And Matt Damon was on Jimmy Fallon last night, and they were talking about Prince, and Jimmy asked him, "Have you ever seen Prince?" And Matt has a really great story about when he took his daughter to see Prince.
Went to a show. We actually ruined my oldest is just turned 18, but when she would have been about 10, and we took her to the Prince concert, and we ended up, the people with Prince put us literally next to the stage. We could reach up and touch Prince, and I turned to my wife and I said, "We've completely ruined this child. This is her first concert."
Unbelievable.
Like, poor guy. And like, she's going to get to college and he's going to be like, "I got concert tickets." And she's going to be like, "When do we meet Prince?"
please, I saw the best concert right up close, yeah.
But we got to go back and talk to him afterwards, and he was just amazing. And he said the most awesome Prince thing ever, which was, I was just chatting with him and I asked him, I said, "You still live in Minnesota, don't you?" And we were in Europe at the time, we were in London, and he just turns and he looks me right in the eye and he goes, "I live inside my own heart, Matt Damon."
I live inside my own heart,
I live
Matt.
Inside my own heart, Matt Damon.
Yeah, that's the greatest press, exactly what you want Prince to say. That's so cool. There you go. There's your Mike TV.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
A Wisconsin cop has resigned after an internal investigation determined that his biggest busts belonged to the woman he had been having sex with in his patrol car.
Well done, Mark.
Officer John Warden was placed on administrative leave and eventually resigned after he admitted to having sex about 100 times while on duty. And apparently you can't do that.
Well, apparently he didn't know that, or he wouldn't have admitted to doing it 100 times.
Well, the problem is the lady that he was having the trysts with bitched about it, complained.
Oh.
He must have pissed her off with something.
Yeah.
And so she complained, and he admitted it, and now he's not working anymore.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
100 times.
Stop screwing ladies in your car.
Yeah, but it's hot. You're in there with shotguns and a billy stick and...
Wait, actually, you might be onto something because I don't know if anybody else ever been in the back of a police car. But in the back, the bench is kind of slanted, so I could see that being helpful. You know, it's not like a regular bench seat.
But that seat is the most uncomfortable thing. It's plastic.
Yes.
That way they can clean up vomit.
For sure. But it's at an angle. And I think that that might be helpful. It's not like a 90-degree like seat you're sitting in. It's like a ramp. Am I alone here? I'm the only one who's ever been in the back of a flight.
I'm just sitting here wondering, why do you know this?
I know a lot of things, Mark. I've been around the block a couple of times. I've seen some things.
Scary, scary things. Why do I know?
Yeah, why do you know?
I was arrested, but I wasn't put in a cop car.
I'm assuming it probably has something to do with the adventures of Mark and Brian.
Maybe, but I am wondering why I know. I'm also wondering, see, I have a little notebook, little note. And on it, I write, you know, things that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
I just jot a little note, and I've learned that when I think of it, if I don't get up right that minute and write it down, it's gone. Mm. I've got about 60 seconds.
Yeah.
Sometimes this happens. I'll write something down, and I can't remember what I meant.
Okay, tell us what it is, and we'll try and help you decipher.
Play birthday greeting. Oh!
I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory.
No, but
it's not like it was in code.
I couldn't remember where it came. Was it something that Linda played for me? Where it's...
Okay, do you want me to explain it?
Please.
Okay, so we had a very nice listener, Megan, who asked us, and this is the first time I think we've ever gotten this request. We're big fans, listen all the time, love Mark. Can you please give a birthday shout out to my 2-year-old toddler? And I thought, how would a 2-year-old listen to this show? Well, apparently, according to Megan, every time the toddler hears your voice, Mark, he gets all happy. So there's one out there. It just claps and laughs and whatever. His name is Little Bowen. So I asked you after the show, please record a message to this little 2-year-old for his birthday.
And I did it, and that was what I meant. Yeah. It wasn't Linda. It was in that meeting. Do you have it, Mikey? We can come back and do it later.
Yeah, let's come back.
By the way,
I can't find it.
It was for a 2-year-old, and you were beyond vulgar.
Which is what makes it classic. Though I'm unaware, I'm sure there's something really cool out there that's trending. Let's find out, shall we, Gina?
Shall we? Let's do it. Well, last night was the third night of the DNC, and besides climate change, the theme for Leon Panetta, Tim Kaine, Michael Bloomberg, and President Obama was to engage in a full-on Trump roast. Bright streaks of light seen across Southern California last night freaked a lot of people out, but it turns out it might just be some space junk from a Chinese rocket that was launched last month. By the way, Chinese Space Junk is the name of my new punk band.
Oh, nice.
Just thought of that.
I like that.
Yep, and here's what's trending in sports. The Rays beat the Dodgers 3-1 last night at Dodgers Stadium. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. We reshare yesterday's conversation with former President Bill Clinton. But first, you two, this is Mark in the Morning.
So Bill Clinton gave a heartfelt speech last night at the Democratic National Convention. He shared some touching stories about his wife, Hillary, and we have Bill on the phone to talk about it. Thanks for calling in, Bill.
Thanks for having me, Mark. And yes, I am so glad I could share the story of how my wife and I met, how we fell in love, and how we have shared a lifetime of memories. She is my rock, my soulmate, and I adore her.
Yeah, you mentioned a bunch of that last night.
Well, good. I can't stress it enough. She is wonderful, and I love everything about her. The way she laughs, the way she talks, the way she walks, the way she sits down, the way she stands up from a sitting position, the way her face moves when she moves her face. I love everything. She's my world, my true love.
Laying this on a little thick, Bill.
I can't help it. From the time she wakes up in the morning with breath so foul and strong it could stop an archer's arrow, until she falls asleep at night, drifting off and passing gas in her sleep that would make any other man question the existence of a god. All I can think about is how much I love her and adore her and how wonderful she is. Be still, my heart. She's perfect.
Well, it's noble of you to say you love these things that are otherwise hard to love. Are you overcompensating for something you did wrong, Bill?
When she eats ribs with her dry, cracked hands, her lazily manicured talons puncturing the rib meat, as the barbecue sauce dribbles down her chin and onto the front of her pantsuit, and she screams obscenities because she really liked that pantsuit and pounds her hands on the table until everybody in the room is afraid, I'm smitten. When she takes off her shoes after a long day on the campaign trail and peels off her socks, which are somehow sticking to her feet, making it a little tougher than it should be to remove them, I can't get enough. when the thick, almost curdled, sour cream-scented odor fills the room and our cat panics for a few seconds, then immediately dies. I say to myself, Bill, you're the luckiest guy on earth.
Okay, Bill, obviously you've done something to upset Hillary and you're in the doghouse, so you're trying to list all of the attributes, unpleasant as they are, and pretending to love them. Nice try, Bill.
The only thing I've done wrong is love her too much, Mark.
Well, I'm sure Hillary really appreciates that.
Hillary? Yes, Hillary is the her I'm talking about in this particular case. That's the her I've loved too much recently. Hillary busted me loving Hillary.
Thank you for calling in, Bill.
I'm skinny and sick-looking because I'm dehydrated because I've been loving Hillary too much. So many marathon lovemaking sessions with Hillary. Good call, Mark. Good call.
All right, goodbye, Bill.
Uh-oh. My strangely and suddenly much more bulbous-tipped nose smells sour cream. She's close, Mark.
Oh my God.
The woman I love and don't fear is close. Hey, Hillary! Want a foot rub? Everything's going great for me.
Thank you, Mr. President. Right before we went into commercials a second ago, I'm looking at my notebook, which gives me the things that I wanted to talk about.
Right.
And I see play birthday greeting. Not for the life of me could I remember where I was. Was it Linda? Did she play something for me that I wanted to repeat?
No.
We were in the production room recording promos and stuff we have to do after the show. And Gina says to me,
There's a listener who absolutely loves you, and her 2-year-old toddler little baby boy apparently loves you, and it's his birthday, and she wanted to do a shout out for him because every time he hears your voice, he gets super happy.
Yeah, I'm not buying it, but I did record a birthday greeting. Here it is. Megan, I find it uniquely odd that in 45 years of broadcast and to have achieved the stardom that I have achieved, I am here. What is it, Megan?
Megan.
I'm here making a birthday tape to a 2-year-old.
Bowen, little Bowen.
Shut up, Gina. There's no reason for this to exist. Gina took advantage of the situation. She's got me in the studio that would do this. So, Bowen. God.
Just say it.
At least play this for him when he's 20. Apparently, Bowen, your mother Megan says that you brighten up. That's a bunch of
Happy birthday, Bowen. We love you, Megan. We're so sorry.
Eat me, Megan.
Well, I got an email back from Ms. Megan.
Yep.
And I thought I was horrified. I was bracing for impact when she said, Gina, OMG, thank you so much for doing that. Bowen came straight to the phone when he heard Mark talking. Thank you. It was awesome. I was laughing my ass off. That meant a lot, even though Mark thought I was stupid.
I don't know how I'm able to get away with it. Somebody once asked me, a buddy asked me, how is it you can say the things that you say and you get away with it? None of that, people want you to do it. Mm. How come it doesn't work for me? And I said, because you're an a-hole. you mean it. You're just a mean-spirited. I'm joking around, and people, I think,
Everybody knows. Yeah.
Although every now and then, one morning, a listener, a guy who was a regular listener, we had his wife on, and she doesn't listen.
Uh-oh.
And I started my shenanigans with her. Did not fly.
Oh.
Shut me down right there where I was. Wouldn't answer my vile questions or anything.
Every once in a decade that has to happen to you. Keep you humble.
It does. Yeah. And I respect it. All right. I love this too much. We here on this radio station, we work for Intercom. That's the name of the company that owns this building and many others.
Correct.
And yesterday there was apparently an email problem. And the fine folks at Intercom decided to let us know, the employees of Intercom, about the problem by sending out an email. I just love life.
Yeah. Mikey never got it.
Okay, so before we get to Throwback Thursday, Jackie, who I've been trying to get to go see Jersey Boys, one of the best plays I've ever seen. And as we flew back from Vegas after having seen the Jersey Boys, I run in the airport into Frankie Valli.
What?
So crazy. Yeah, he just walked by me. And I thought, that's really weird. But Jackie went to see Frankie Valli. Now, I said, the concert's going to suck. The guy's 300.
Yeah.
She went.
Okay, so first of all, you brought my spirits down when you told me that, because I was so excited, and I told my mom, and she's like, yeah, I can't wait. I almost canceled on her last minute, because I was so tired from work, but I felt bad, you know.
Yeah.
So I still went, despite what you said, right? And I told her, Mom, don't be disappointed if it's not good. And she's like, no, I won't, Mija. Don't worry, don't worry. So we get there, and he plays his first song, Grease, and I was just like, oh my God, Mark, you're a dumbass. He is so good. I mean, it was just so good. I have a little bit of audio. I don't know if you, do you have that?
Mm-hmm.
Just need one more.
Excuse me. Person there, and I was really happy because he played all of his hits and everything. I mean, My Eyes Adored You, everything so good, right? And this lady tapped me in the back of my shoulder while I was there, and I was like, yeah, Frankie! And she tapped me and she goes, Jesus Christ, calm down! And I was like, and my first reaction, I shouldn't have said this, but I said, shut up! And I turned around and I was like, oh, I shouldn't have told her that. She's like 70, but I was just so rude. Like, I was having such a good time, but whatevs, I kept singing.
It really is a universal problem, whether it's a concert or a football game, because I was about to go heels with a family of Denver fans. They wanted you to sit down, and I said out loud, are you aware you're at the Super Bowl? And they want us to sit down. Same thing at a concert.
Yeah.
People want to, they don't want you to stand up. It's a party atmosphere.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into it.
Okay.
Jackie Throwback Thursday.
All right, so today I'm going to feature a couple of guys by the names of Jim Seals and Dash Crofts.
Oh, sure.
We know them as Seals and Crofts. But before they were Seals and Crofts, they were in a little 60s band. So Mark and Gina, sorry, Mikey, you already know the answer, so I can't include you. But they were they in the Dave Clark Five, the Champs, or Herman's Hermits?
I'm going Herman.
No. I'm not going to go Herman. I'm going to go Dave Clark Five, who I, by the way, love.
Me too. Okay, Mikey, hit it. They were in the Champs!
Ah!
Anyways, so after the Champs, they started Seals and Crofts, and in my opinion, they were one of the best summertime songs ever.
Summer Breeze.
Yeah. And when I think of 70s music, this is the first song that comes to mind. So taking it back to 1972, here's Seals and Crofts with on Jackie's Throwback Thursday.
I got a kick out of that.
Yo, we need WD-40. It's not my fault.
Mikey had already said mics are hot, and then I hear this.
Just go.
By the way, if you want to follow the Thompson clan, Linda, my wife, is pretty social media savvy. Not like Gina. Gina works it like a job. But Linda's pretty active, and if you want to see what I'm doing or what she's doing or the kids, she's got it all up there. It's at Lake Norman Linda, and Linda is LYNDA, at Lake Norman Linda. Okay, over the weekend, they were playing, and I had never seen it, the Billy Crystal movie Forget Paris.
I love that movie.
Oh, my God.
I was just talking about that movie.
Gina, oh, my God.
Where he's the ref?
Yeah.
Oh, no?
Awful.
Oh, I love that movie.
Oh, it's so bad. I mean, Billy... I made two awful movies, so I can't judge. But I'm watching this thing. It's on one of those things where they played it all weekend,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I caught it. He co-wrote the script, he directed it, and he starred in it. And periodically, people should not put themselves in a romantic role, which this primarily was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He was, you know, the romantic lead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Billy Crystal?
Well, I think he's still flying high on his When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I hear you, but not here.
Yeah.
And as directing, everything... Look, in most films, you're going to shoot a master, then you're going to shoot this person and this person, and usually there's going to be a mid-shot up.
Right.
And every now and then, you're going to go in for a close-up. Close-ups are used for intimate moments, like you had me at hello.
Sure.
That's a close-up.
Right.
Every scene of every moment in that film, Forget Paris, was a close-up of Deborah Winger and Billy Crystal.
Wow. Wow, I guess I didn't realize that.
Well, I think I, as I'm sitting here watching it and I'm wondering, a lot of times a first-time director may overdo because they so badly want to do great.
Right, they're forcing it.
Yeah, well, I mean, he probably shot the master 30 times, then he goes in for the chest up 50 times, and then the close-up 60 times. And he shot and shot and shot and shot and shot. I just couldn't. I hated the story. The acting was awful.
Okay, so this came out when I was a teenager. I think I saw it in the theater once. I've never seen it since. If I watch it again, are you saying I would absolutely hate it?
I don't know. You loved it the first time, but I think you do need to see it again.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say his worst movie ever, which is My Giant.
I didn't see it.
We didn't bother.
Dude, it was awful.
So he is capable of bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he direct My Giant by chance?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
Listen, Billy, I love you. You're the guy that gave me one of my favorite lines, which are, women need a reason to have sex. Guys just need a place. I mean, that's, you know, so come on. I'm not judging. I'm just saying.
City Slickers, great movie.
Oh, the best.
Yeah.
One of the great, I mean, classic.
Yeah.
But, you know, they can't all be city slickers. Am I right?
Correct.
It's raining men. Hallelujah.
I don't have time for this. I'll come back to it. It's a thing. It's menjure. Menjure. It's exactly what you think. It's lingerie for men.
I'm not going to be able to fully understand this story until I see you in some and we put it on Facebook.
Now, what I don't understand is this menjure, are they expecting men to put this on for other men or men to put this on for women?
I think that there are so many men that come out who are married, you know, who have girlfriends and wives saying that, wow, you guys get really lacy stuff. I kind of like that. I wish I could wear that. So maybe they're making it acceptable for you big testosterone-filled dudes to wear little lacy frilly things because it is really fun.
Hey, hey, Linda, my wife, 34 years. Linda, love you, but I'm not wearing anything with a bow on it. Or satin. That would creep me out.
But it feels good. It's like silky and fun. How about just a lace band around the top?
Could we get any gayer in here with this conversation? In mere moments, it is the contest that everybody's talking about around the water cooler. 5 seconds for how much, Gina?
$40.
Holy crap. Oh, it's my line. But first, let's try to give away $1,000. It is the classic rock campaign bribe because bribing people is how we get things done in the good old U.S. of A.
You have 15 minutes to text SWEET to this number, 72881. Messaging and data rates apply. Don't text and drive. All our Mark in the Morning listeners, 18 and older in all 50 states, are eligible. We'll have more bribes for our listeners, our L.A. listeners at 11 a.m. I have way more lines than you. Shut up. 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. Once again, the super secret word. Shh. Once again, the super secret word is SWEET, and the number to text is 72881.
Listen to her complain. I have way more lines than you. Shut up.
I get 8 paragraphs of legal. Please, Mark, continue with your line. We're all waiting.
Your one line. It pretty much is. Be proud, accept our bribe, and vote for classic rock at work. This is Mark, damn it.
5 seconds for $40.
Now, here's what's crazy. And I guess we could go to Rob. Rob is our voice guy. We only have it up to 60. So if this keeps going, we're going to have to
create
have Rob.
More.
Yeah. Which is, that's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
Now, here's the game. Sergio joins us from Moreno Valley. Good morning, Serge.
Good morning, Mark.
What do you do?
Load trailers for a food distribution company.
Oh, okay. That's consistent work. How many hours a day? Is it 8, like a union job?
No, it's non-union, and typically 10 hours a day.
Whoa. You make pretty good. What do you make a year doing that?
A little bit over $60,000.
That is not bad. Are you happy with that?
Kind of. I own a home, have a family, so still want to try to make more.
Nice. And so how long have you been married?
6 years.
How many kids you got?
2 kids.
All right, you're about to walk into that 7-year itch deal.
I'm feeling it.
He's early.
I'm telling you, it is a thing. It is a real thing. Well, okay, so Sergio, this is how this works. I'm going to ask you a question. You have 5 seconds to answer it, and Josh will be yelling at you that entire 5. If you get it, $40 is yours. If you don't,
got it.
Tomorrow we end the week with a $45 question.
You ready, Serge?
I'm ready.
On the show Three's Company, what is Mr. Furley's first name?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Man.
Did you ever watch Three's Company?
No, I'm barely 26.
Oh, he's a baby. No reruns for him.
Wow. So you got married at 20?
Yeah.
That's young. Is your wife hot?
Oh, yeah.
You want Danny to bang her?
Oh, my God. No.
Danny,
sorry.
You
want to
bring Sergio?
He couldn't handle her.
Oh, no.
You can't handle her, Sergio just said. Hey, Sergio, listen, man, I appreciate you listening, and good on your family, and I hope things go well for you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. See you later, Sergio. Take care. Now, we're going to get into this situation with Mr. Furley and Fife.
We have a lot to say.
Right after Stones, man.
Seth.
All right, so kind of fun. We just innocently started talking about, well, they erected a statue to Don Knotts in his hometown. I think it's West Virginia. And I made the comment, well, I hope it's Barney Fife, the statue. And I immediately got jumped on by these three, Danny, Mikey, Gina. No, it's got to be Mr. Furley from Three's Company. Well, we opened up our text poll, and it is the biggest we've ever had. So at 8:50 this morning, if you want to join the shenanigans, we're going to not only reveal the text poll. Danny is back there right now preparing a Fife Furley frenzy.
And people can still text. The poll is not over.
So you type.
Come on, you Furley fans.
You text Furley or Fife to 21003. Who was better? Who was greater, Don Knotts as Barney Fife or Don Knotts as Mr. Furley? Your chance to vote right now. 21003.
It's raining men.
All right.
Hallelujah.
A lingerie company, I'm sorry, an underwear company is now making men's lingerie, and this is for real. The company, Menjure, offers everything from underwear and loungewear to cologne, and they even sell girdles for men.
Mm-hmm.
The undies are fancy, with many of the products featuring lace and mesh.
You're welcome. It's super fun, Mark. And dudes, doesn't matter if straight or gay, a lot of guys just like they get why we like the silky, satiny stuff. It's fun. Why do you hate fun?
When I was single, I don't know how I wound up getting it, but I had a pair of red satin boxer shorts.
Mm.
And I kind of did enjoy the satin sensation.
See?
On the man bits.
Yeah. Menjure.
Okay, I'll put it this way.
Yeah.
If it's in front of me, I'll try it.
If Danny, did you hear that? I'm going to jump on Amazon Prime real
quick. Hang on. Not in this room and not with you.
Will Linda post a picture of you in your fancy panties?
Not happening.
Okay. I'm keep the compromise going. Will you, we won't have any video or photos, and you won't be in this room, but will you be wearing them and tell us about it even if we don't get to see it? Like, right now I'm sitting in my fancy man panties, and here's what I think.
Just my fancy man panties, good God.
That was teamwork.
What's that face? What is that? What are you doing?
I'm enjoying the music because you would think that this would be the Alan Parsons Project.
Mm.
No.
Oh.
This is not. This is Alan Parsons.
Mind is blown.
I get emails asking what this is.
Really?
Yep. It's also hard to find.
Oh, wow.
All right, let's go to Dylan. He's calling from Oregon. Says he is 15 years old, a new listener, and he loves us.
Oh.
Good morning, Dylan.
Hi.
So you called me. Talk.
Well, Mark, this is my son, Dylan. I've been a fan of yours, obviously, for a long time, like every of your listeners that you have out there. He is now getting caught up and listening to your show, and I'm getting ready to launch your Elvis from your Cool Stories of Music, because I listen to it, unlike most of your people, in your studio.
Well, then, young Dylan, what is it? How long have you been listening to the program?
About a couple weeks or so, right now.
Oh, wow. And so, from the 2 weeks you've listened, what highlights come to mind?
The Orange County Fair one that I listened to, I like.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That was us promoting
the podcast. Yeah.
With the complaining about there's not going to be a coach.
Oh, yeah. That was a classic Mark moment.
But which, by the way, we wound up getting a goat.
Yeah. Are you happy now?
15
it was
years
a baby goat.
All right, well, listen, Dad and Dylan, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for calling. And tell Oregon Mark said hey. All right, let's get into this. The most liked and least liked NFL teams. What do you want first? Now, I've only got the top five and the bottom five.
We want the most liked first.
All right. Number five. Do you want to guess? Well, let's wait till we get number one.
Okay.
Number five, Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
This is
happy.
Most liked?
Yeah, most okay. liked.
Most liked.
Good team, tomahawk chop.
Number four, Arizona Cardinals. Huh.
Strong choice.
I have always liked, just from an aesthetic point of view, I have always liked the white helmet with the bird on it. With
big
the
red
cardinal.
Bird.
Yeah, I've always been attracted to it.
Yeah.
I had a buddy who played for Arizona. Well, they were in St. Louis at the time, but I always loved seeing him in his helmet.
How long have they been in Arizona? And have they always been good in Arizona? Because I've only heard about them the last couple of years.
No.
They were awful for many decades.
There we go.
Who's the owner? Biddle?
I don't know.
Yeah, the ownership was just awful.
Okay. But they've been there for about 20, 25 years now.
In Arizona?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think.
I am way too old. Number three, and I agree, I've always liked the Miami Dolphins. Number two, I don't get... But whatever. The number two most liked, which, by the way, they are also, I'm told, by far, the drunkest fan base in all of the NFL.
Okay, hold on.
Before the game begins, they are falling down drunk.
I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say the Packers.
Nope. It is the Buffalo Bills at number two.
They need a reason to drink.
Oh.
All right, number one.
Let's see. Just beloved. Yes. Overall, beloved.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of fair weather fans out there. I'm going to say Broncos.
No.
Oh. Mikey.
I know.
Say it.
They're the 12th man, the Seattle Seahawks. No. Uh-uh. Wow. Uh-uh.
Hmm. Their stadium is iconic. I actually flew there and went to a game.
The Bears?
The Bears.
Mm-mm.
Huh? Soldier Field didn't make it?
Mm-mm. Huh. Green Bay Packers.
Oh.
Okay.
Number one most liked. Bottom five, and Mikey, you're safe. Your Raiders are not here.
Great.
Number 28, I completely, fully agree. I've never been there, but when they drafted Donovan McNabb, the Philadelphia Eagle fans boot Donovan McNabb.
Donovan?
It's fine. Keep going.
I think it's... Donovan.
Why?
The host is in the middle of a thought.
And your interruptions are unnecessary.
I didn't know who Donovan McNabb was.
And yet he continues to yammer. This is a no yammer zone.
Sorry.
The Eagles, you say.
And they booed him even when he took them to the playoffs. Did they make it to the Super Bowl? They continued to boo him.
Why?
Because they're asses. Because they're just that way. And they smell like cabbage.
Oh, do they?
Number 29, I don't know why. Most disliked, Los Angeles Rams.
Well, that's all about to change.
Let's hope.
It is. First of all, they're featured on Hard Knocks, and you always get connected to whoever's on Hard Knocks. And they're the new L.A. Rams.
Yeah.
The only reason people are pissed is because the St. Louis fans are pissed.
Now, we lost. Give the Rams moment.
Today, you mean?
Yeah.
Nick Foles was released.
Yesterday. Okay. Oh. And Todd will give us more, but Nick Foles, which means Jared Goff is at least going to be the backup. I think they're going to start him. But then you said Jeff Fisher doesn't like to start people.
Yeah,
rookies.
I saw a thing. He had Vince Evans. He did not start as a rookie, and Steve McNair also as a rookie did not start.
Okay.
I'm wondering, before you tell us, what number the Cleveland Browns are.
Not here.
What?
I think the Cleveland Browns, the mistake by the lake, are just irrelevant. they're not good or bad. They're not liked or well liked. They're just not there.
Oh, okay.
Do you have the Factory of Sadness?
I'll find it.
Oh, so good. Wait, I've got it.
A guy yelling at the actual stadium itself. Oh, look at you typing like you know your way around that machine there.
God.
He hunts and pecks, by the way, with one finger. case you're wondering.
You going on two?
Yeah. All right, here we go. This is a fan. After a loss, another loss, he is at the, it's at night, he is at the stadium yelling at his team.
Hey, Browns, Mike Polk, season ticket holder. Killer game in Houston today.
Well, thank God we built you. What a blessing for the community.
You are wasting valuable space on our majestic shoreline, and what do we get out of it from you? 10 miserable games a year, including 2 preseason games that I have to pay for, and one Kenny Chesney concert. Do you understand that it is actually statistically harder for a team to be this consistently bad than it is for them to occasionally accidentally be good?
The probability is staggering. Did you happen to see that Packers-Chargers game today? It's like they're playing a different sport than you are.
And here's what you have to understand. We don't even expect you to be good. We just want you to be watchable. Do you have any idea how low our expectations are? We don't expect you to win the Super Bowl. We just want you to look better than a Division III high school team.
And listen, I know that there are way more important things in life than football, but you are supposed to be our pleasant distraction from those things.
But all we do is pay you money to put us in a bad mood every week.
You are a factory of sadness!
See you Sunday.
What makes that classic is that he means it. At the very bottom of all of his angst, he means every word of it.
So good.
All right, we're looking at the bottom five, the least liked NFL football teams. And they got the next two right. Number 30, Dallas Cowboys. Number 31, I'm a little surprised by the dead last one. Number 31, New England Patriots.
Oh, are you surprised? Everyone hates the Patriots except people in New England.
Yeah.
I think that people get sick and tired. Like, if the Patriots make it to the Super Bowl, unless it's my Panthers playing them, sure. I'm bored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've seen it, and people just get sick of it.
And they're cheaters.
And they're cheaters.
Yeah.
Brady will finally serve his 4-game suspension. All right, dead last. I'm surprised by it. I can't even tell you why it is. East Coast.
If you're surprised by it, let's say the Giants.
Nope. Okay. However, a major foe of the Giants and Dallas, this team. That should give it to you, Mikey.
Oh, Redskins.
Washington Redskins.
It's because of the name, the controversy with the
name. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
That might make sense.
So there you go. The most disliked NFL football teams and the most liked. At some point, something miraculous happened. Gina made dinner.
Yeah!
And we're going to find out about it. Let's find out what's trending. Here's Ms. Grant.
Well, President Obama rallied for Hillary last night and even got the crowd cheering by taking a shot at Bill Clinton. Here's a clip.
Wait, hang on.
Oh, God.
There we go.
There has never been a man or a woman, not me, not Bill, nobody, more qualified than Hillary Clinton to serve as President of the United States of America.
Bill laughed it off. They all got a good... No. What's happening?
It's starting over.
All right.
Yeah.
On the heels of a successful Full House spinoff, it's been announced that the Gilmore Girls is coming back. That will premiere on Netflix November 25th. And here's what's trending in sports. The Royals got back at the Angels yesterday, beating them. They still beat them. Wasn't a shutout, but they beat them 7-5 in Kansas City. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. There's something we have to talk to Mark about, and he has no idea what it is. So stick around to see if he accepts it or if he totally, completely implodes. We'll all find out together. That's at 7:50. First, Queen, this is Mark in the Morning.
And now, 5 reasons today doesn't suck.
1.
It was on this day in 1973, Chicago 6, featuring Stronger Every Day, begins a 5-week run at number 1. It was on this day back in 19... What year they released National Lampoon's Animal House? What year?
Oh, 78.
On the money.
That boy is a P.I.G. pig.
See if you can guess what I am now. I'm a zit. Get it?
3.
Hollywood Hotel. Good
It was on this day in 2006, Lindsay Lohan got the worst reviews of her career in a hand-delivered letter to her from 70-year-old CEO of Morgan Creek Productions, James G. Robinson. He calls her a 20-year-old, discourteous, irresponsible, and unprofessional on the set, adding, quote, "You have acted like a spoiled child, and in doing so, have alienated many of your co-workers and endangered the quality of this picture, causing hundreds of thousands of dollars in damage."
Wasn't that for the movie Georgia Rule with Jane Fonda?
So. Yeah. And Gary Marshall directed. He was on the show, and I brought it up, and he defended. He goes, "She missed one day."
He's a good guy. Well, he'll never talk crap.
And then there's this. On the same day that Lindsay got that memo, in 2006, Mel Gibson is arrested for drunk driving in Malibu.
What?
In a tirade, he says, quote...
No. Huh? Can't say the last word.
Wait, I can't believe that was 10 years ago.
The T word?
No.
Will you let him do a show?
I just want to make sure we don't have to delay something.
He said... "The Jews are responsible for all wars in the world," before asking a cop, "Are you a Jew?" He then asked a female sergeant, "What are you looking at, sugar breasts?"
Thank you for editing.
Mikey, you thought I was going to say the T word. I have been broadcasting for 45 years. I don't need a grunt like you,
and you
to tell me that you, I can't say that word.
You are a little bit flighty today.
No,
and,
I'm not.
And I wasn't sure if you were going to remember, Gina, that you have to edit yourself.
I'm flighty.
Yes. Yeah. Your mind is elsewhere.
After the man bought you breakfast.
He looked at a female sergeant and said, "What are you looking at, sugar breasts?" But with somewhat more colorful language. And he tells the arresting officer that he owns Malibu and is going to spend all his money getting even.
Yeah. What happened? Mel just turned inside out. Mm-hmm.
I've got a feeling that maybe it was that way all the time.
Yeah.
And we just had a little insight into it.
Well, remember that fantastic audio from his then wife or girlfriend in the hot tub with the phone? Oh, man.
My favorite part of that, he was bitching at he was yelling at her because she missed the duly agreed upon spa visit, jacuzzi visit.
Yes.
Cracked me up. Okay. Here's one I think Gina's going to go, what?
Five.
Oh, I'm sorry. Give me this thing. I can't use my finger. It's got to be the mouse.
Television City in Hollywood.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
I think she played Gloria in All in the Family. I'm not sure the name. Sally Struthers is 68 today.
Love you, Ms. Struthers.
Reasons Today Doesn't Suck is brought to you by my balls.
You got the laugh in there,
too. Got a big old laugh when that happened. Live studio audience in Mark in the Morning.
All right, so Gina, I'm intrigued. Oh, we're too late. Okay, I'm going to find out what you did for dinner because you did this show.
Yeah.
You did Corolla.
Yeah.
You drove all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And then you had dinner.
Yeah,
you made
ran
dinner.
A couple of errands, got right home and started cooking.
All right, we're going to find out what that's about. Plus, Gina and somebody, they got something at 7:50. I don't know what this is. I've been left in the dark purposely. So I'm intrigued. The last time was Sutham Seats.
Right.
So God knows whatever this is going to be, I'm intrigued.
Mark.
Gina.
Hi.
Hi.
It's great to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you.
As you can see, the whole family's here, the whole Mark in the Morning family. We got Jackie in the booth, and we got Mikey over on the board, and your daughter Katie. We got Danny, me. We all love you.
Thank you.
We're here because we love you. And we feel like thank you. This is a private moment. I'm glad you shut the door. We're here because we love you, and we feel like we know what's best for you. Mm-hmm. We know what's best for this whole Mark in the Morning family, and I think you know that too, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Mark, I'm going to give it to you straight.
Sure.
We're worried about you.
Are you?
Okay. Which is why we've all come here together to talk to you about something that's been weighing very heavily on our minds. So how this is going to go, we have everyone here. They've all prepared a statement. We just want you to listen to that statement, and you'll have a chance to speak at the end.
Okay.
But this is serious, and I hope that you take it in the serious manner in which it's intended.
Well, I can tell it's got the serious music playing, so I know.
Mark, please.
Okay.
Danny, why don't you start? Why don't you come on over here and start?
All right. Well,
please grab your letter.
I prepared a statement. Yeah. I wrote down a letter, but then I chose to, I'm choosing to speak from the heart instead. Mark, I love you.
I love you.
We all love you. Should I just come out and say it? Like, what our
say
what's
up? Say what your feeling is. Say what your problem is.
The problem is that you you don't wash your hands after you pee, and it's affecting all of our lives. Yeah. And at first, it didn't bother me, but then last Saturday at the Orange County Fair, watching you shake all those people's hands. I mean, not to say our listeners have cleaner hands. I'm sure they're way more than urine and feces on their fingertips. But I did a little research and I went to the CDC. That's the Center for Disease Control and Prevention.
Right.
I found some information, some hygiene fast facts on hand washing. Mm. And the one that stuck out to me the most is that, I'll just read it. Researchers in London estimate that if everyone routinely washed their hands, 1 million deaths a year could be prevented.
Wow.
60 years old, you've contributed to 60 million deaths worldwide.
Wow.
I'm sorry, there's nothing to laugh about.
It's affecting me, and I hope that you can seek some help.
Yes.
And I hope that you can start washing your hands today and we'll accept that help.
Thank you, Danny. I appreciate your kind comment.
Danny, that was very brave. Thank you. Jackie, why don't you go next with your prepared statement?
Okay. Dear Mark, I want to start off by saying that I love you and I'm here for you, but I'm deeply concerned with your lifestyle. When you don't wash your hands after you pee, I can't help but lie awake at night thinking about how selfish you are for not only putting yourself in danger, but also your family. Mm. Your family depends on you to do all the cooking at home. And knowing that you touch their food with that same handle the same hands that you touch that handle with thousands of fecal matter.
Yeah.
It's just, it's sickening. If you're not willing to, wash your hands, I don't think I can be your friend anymore.
Mark, Jackie, that was very brave.
Will you please accept the help and wash your hands today?
Thank you, Jackie.
Jackie, that was really brave. Thank you for that. Mikey, why don't you go next?
Okay, this is tough. Mark.
Sure.
You know I love you.
I do.
So I know you don't show it sometimes, but I know you love me back. Mm-hmm. And we've worked together for 15 years.
I know, it's crazy. You know,
never closer than we are now. You know, tell me what to do. But you don't wash your hands after you pee, and it affects me in the following way. Mm. I'm a clean person.
You are.
I'm not a germaphobe per se, but...
Yes, you are.
Shut up, Jackie. But I really do appreciate cleanliness. I think cleanliness is a big part of being a human being.
Next to godliness.
Yes. Which is why you might have noticed on Monday, we were in the kitchen, and you touched my shoulder, and I kind of tensed up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's because you don't wash your hands after you pee.
Gotcha.
If you're unwilling to wash your hands after you pee, I don't know if I can continue writing the board when you're in town.
Wow.
It's
that intense.
Yeah, because I don't know what you've touched here. You come back here, you see what I'm doing, you touch things, you touch the handle. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can do it anymore.
Yeah.
So,
Mikey.
I love you, man.
I love you, too.
Very brave. Thank you for sharing. You know, I might as well just go next. Get my letter ready. Dear Mark, over the past year and a half, I've grown to love you like a second father. But when I found out that you don't wash your hands after you pee, it affected me in the following way. I drive to work every morning with soul-crushing anxiety, afraid that you're going to touch me or that something you've touched will end up on me. I've stopped ordering breakfast with you guys because I can't take the chance of you going to the bathroom, coming back, and handing me my food. If you're unwilling to wash your hands after you pee, I will no longer be able to share papers, food, or any kind of physical expression of friendship with you. Mark, will you please accept this help and start washing your hands today?
Thank you, Gina.
Oh, thank you, Gina. That was very brave. Katie, why don't you go ahead and bring up the rear. Your daughter, as Katie, has something to say.
Sure. This is hard because you're my dad. I've known you for my whole life. And you've raised me to be the woman that I am today. I say this because I love you. And I'm concerned for your health.
Yeah.
And for your well-being. Daddy, you don't wash your hands after you pee. And I completely understand because not but 3 months ago, I did the same thing.
Oh, God.
Until Danny told me that I was tracking poop and pee into my eyes and in my mouth. And it turns out it only takes like 20 seconds for you to wash your hands, and we won't all think of you as human garbage. And I'm shaking. This is just such a real thing. I know that this seems like a load of crap, but it's not. It's for your health, and I believe in poo. I believe in you. So oh no!
Careful, Katie hasn't washed that.
Just put your hands out for me.
Here's some Purell for you.
I have two. Here we go. Double the.
Once we get that going in Mark's hand, Mark, we appreciate that you let us speak. We know that in these interventions, it's easy to get defensive. It's easy. You know, we all thought you were going to walk out.
Oh, sure.
But you've been very brave. You've been very mature. Mm-hmm. And thank you for listening to all of us. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything to say as a rebuttal?
Yeah.
Okay.
First of all, very moving.
Yeah.
The fact that all of you, Danny, all of you would want to step up and say that. But the bottom line of it is that pee is medicinal. It's good. If you have acne, you put your own pee on your acne, athlete's foot. You pee on your feet because it heals the body. When I go pee, there is no need to wash the hands. Now, when I, you know, take a crap, I'm gonna wash up every time. Fecal matter bad. Mm. Okay, remember that. Say it after me on three. One, two, three.
Fecal matter bad.
Good, we're learning. And not only that, but I will continue to pee in not only my pool, but anybody else's pool that I'm in. If I get in that water, I am going to pee in it. So, again, I appreciate your concern. Don't normally when I'm peeing, because I'm, well, gifted, I don't normally pee on my hand. Because there's just no physical way that could happen.
Sure. He doesn't know he has a problem.
This is more serious than we thought.
He doesn't know he has a problem.
He's being very defensive.
I'm not being defensive. I'm just telling you I'm not going to wash my hands when I pee. And I'm going to pee in your pool when I come over to it.
Angry. Okay. Well, you know what? We tried. We tried, everybody. Everybody just get ready your letters.
Yeah.
We did our best. We did
it
out of love.
Thank you for the concern.
By the way, you said it clears up athlete's foot and acne.
Mm-hmm.
How many times a week do you pee on your own face and feet?
I don't, because I don't have either
okay.
athlete's foot or acne.
He doesn't need to. He has all the pee on his hands and he's touching his face, so it's not even an issue.
You know what, Mark? We're only human. Mm. We're not gods. We can't control you. We're not good enough to control the things that you do. We tried. You know how we feel.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to start feeling the ramifications. Mikey's not going to let you touch the board.
No.
I'm not going to let you order me food.
Not your friend.
Jack is not even your friend.
Don't touch me.
So you know what? Screw you. We tried.
We should do an isolated booth for Mark.
Yeah.
If he's not going to, you know.
Quite. Maybe far away in another part of the country. Maybe in his house somewhere. That'd be better.
Wash your hands.
The intervention continued through the song.
Everybody cornered him.
Let's go to Nurse Lisa. She's a big listener of the program. Good morning, Nurse Lisa.
Mark. To be summoned away from patients for a PP intervention told me the serious nature of this, and I just want to let you know it's not too late.
Oh.
You know, I'm gonna give you a little tip. First of all, did it ever occur to you why you don't have grandchildren yet? The thought of you touching a baby with 860,000 germs on your hands that you've accumulated in the course of a day?
Yeah.
It's a good
but
point.
I know you want those babies, and I'm going to teach you. It's really very simple. Soap, water, friction. You need the soap to release the oils and anything else sticking to your hands, and you need to rub them together. If you're saying, well, how long is good enough? It's really pretty simple. If you hum happy birthday, the whole song, two times, that's enough.
Now, you see,
you just might see those grandbabies popping out.
Now, you see, with Nurse Lisa chiming in, I'm going to have to start washing my hands after peeing. She's a nurse.
But we...
I'm a nurse practitioner.
We're just chopped liver. We told you that it bothers us and we love you and we don't know if we can continue being your friend.
No, that was effective too. But when it comes medicinally,
yeah,
then that I have to listen.
So, Nurse Lisa, since you know that you have almost a million germs on your hands if you don't wash them, how do you feel about Mark peeing on his face and his feet for medicinal purposes?
Well, I think if he can actually reach those, more power to him, but I wouldn't touch him after something like that.
Nurse Lisa, funny call. Thank you for listening and thank you for chiming in.
Take care, guys. Love the show.
Coming up, Sports with Todd is going to share some big news from the Rams. It's all brought to you by Frontier Toyota in beautiful Valencia.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
So, Todd, with training camp having started yesterday, the Rams begin training camp by making a decision.
Well, they make a decision, and it's actually a co-decision by player and team, and that is Nick Foles, the quarterback, who was actually the starting quarterback for the Rams at the beginning of last season, was released. They tried to trade him, no takers, so he's been released, and now he can sign with any team he wants. But you think about it, you know, the Rams before last year traded Sam Bradford, a former number one pick in the NFL draft, to the Philadelphia Eagles for Nick Foles, the quarterback, and now Foles isn't with the team. And so now the quarterbacks are Case Keenum and Jared Goff, the number one pick of the draft this year. And so you'd have to say that Jared Goff's path to the starting quarterback became that much shorter because that's one less guy he's got to knock off.
Tell me about this Keenum guy.
Well, he's a pretty good player. I mean, he's a experienced player, probably about third year. I think he went University of Houston, and in college he was one of those guys who was in an offense, one of the run and shoot offenses, or the college hybrid offenses that just pass. So he's had a lot of experience passing, and he's decent. But here's the deal: I mean, the Rams haven't had a winning season in like 10 years. They haven't been to the playoffs in like 10, 11 seasons. So, to say he's decent, he's a decent quarterback on a, average to slightly below average team. So that's why the Rams went with Jared Goff.
What is your impression of Jared Goff, Todd?
My impression of Jared Goff is he was the number one pick. I'd have probably taken him number one. But, here's the deal. In college, you always have to look at what was the team that he played with. He never won, let's say, a big game, a real significant game over a real top caliber team. But playing at Cal, how good was Cal? We don't know. I mean, so in a sense, he might have been a great player on a mediocre team that had he been with a team like a USC or UCLA, that they may, he may have done a lot better. But, he was good at the combines and everything else. But then I'll also say this. Remember, Blaine Gabbert was a combine freak. He was a guy who went to the combines. Oh, look at his arm strength. Oh, look at his footwork. Oh, look at his look at his speed. Look at his size.
And now look at him.
Well, and he may be the starting quarterback for the 49ers this year. We don't know. He's actually improved the last couple of years. But we'll have to wait.
Well, you know what? There's part of me, if in fact the Rams are going to be mediocre at best, and they are going to be a run-first team, I say put Jared Goff out there, let him take his shots, let him get that rookie season under him, and then find your starter.
Let's put it this way. They got to win now. And you have to say, you hate to say, oh, you have to win now and you've got a rookie quarterback. But, that team's got to sell some tickets in L.A. I mean, the enthusiasm of having the team back is wonderful. But Los Angeles, Mark, you not only have to win, you got to win with style points.
Oh, I mean,
that's just the way it is in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Hey, some other quarterback notes. The Jets signed Ryan Fitzpatrick to a one-year, $12 million deal. The Broncos say equal reps for their three quarterbacks in camp, Mark Sanchez, Trevor Siemian, and another first-round draft pick, Paxton Lynch, out of Memphis. The Rams' winning percentage when they were in Cleveland, 406 winning percentage, below average. When they're in Los Angeles, they were 549. When they're in St. Louis for those 20 years, 424. The Rams are hoping that by coming back to Los Angeles, they get back to their winning ways. And T.J. McDonald, starting safety of last year, he is now back with the team. He didn't participate in some offseason drills because he's had some legal and some personal issues like a May arrest for a DUI, but he is with the team. All right, baseball real quick now. How about those Dodgers? They lost 3-1 to Tampa Bay. Evan Longoria, two-run home run. Hey, how about those Angels? They lost to the Royals 7-5.
Hey, they took two of three out there.
But Raul Mondesi Jr. on his 21st birthday got his first two major league hits for Kansas City, and Kansas City wins 7-5. Steven Strasburg, his 14th win of the season yesterday. He's 14-1 now. The St. Louis Cardinals snap Jurys Familia's 52-save streak. 52 saves in a row, converting that, by the way, is the third longest in Major League history. First, as we all know, Dodger fans, Eric Gagne, 84. And by the way, the Cubs still have the best record in baseball. They are 60-40. PGA, the last of the majors this year. It's the first round, and right now the leader is Jimmy Walker. He's 5-under. Quite frankly, I'm more of a fan of Johnny Walker Red, but that's okay. And Ricky Fowler is minus 3 after 11. McIlroy is plus 3 after 8. Mickelson plus 2 after 8. Day minus 1 after 8. This afternoon at 1:45 Eastern Time, Danny Willett, Dustin Johnson, and Henrik Stenson, the three major winners this year, tee off together, as will Spieth, Sergio Garcia, and Bubba Watson. So there you go. Hey, that's in sports, brought to you by Frontier Toyota in beautiful Valencia. Don't forget, RAV4 Highlanders, great inventory, Tacoma and Tundras, tops and trucks at Frontier Toyota. They don't close deals, they open relationships.
So, coming up, I'm going to share an idea for a reality TV show that I like. They're doing it. It's going to be on TLC.
Ooh.
And it's based on a video that was going around several months back that went viral.
Oh.
I like the concept. We'll talk it through at 20 minutes after 8. So now, you remember the video that went viral? They would choose a guy and a girl, and in some cases, I guess, two guys and two girls, whatever the case was, and they would be introduced to each other on a soundstage with cameras and lights.
Mm-hmm.
And then, once they would get around to it, they would make out a kiss.
Oh, yeah!
Okay.
They're total strangers. Like, they just walk in and kiss, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I remember
And the fun I remember as I'm watching it, they are meeting for the first time right now.
Right.
And the best part was watching how awkward it was, because you're about to kiss a complete stranger. So now their TLC is launching a new dating reality show based on that video we just talked about. The video was sweet and lovely. Not sure the show will be the same. Here's the premise. Two strangers are paired up and they have to make out before getting to know each other, in the hopes that kissing prior to dating will help the relationship. If the kissing goes well, if they feel a spark, the couple goes on a 2-minute speed date, and then they decide whether or not they want to go on a real date. The teasers of these makeout sessions are awkward and in some cases kind of gross, but those are also the exact reasons people tune in. You can check it out on TLC, August 3rd, 10 p.m.
Well, that is the reason why TLC stands for Terrible Life Choices.
Gina and I were laying on the bed the other day. That's a really odd thing to say. We were laying on the bed the other day and we watched a clip of people. It was very awkward to watch these people just make out.
And are they all going to be like, oh, sparks? Or is it going to be like, get this guy off my face right now? So I might watch it.
And do they have to brush their teeth before they do it?
Maybe they don't.
Mouthwash? That's gross.
Again,
sponsored by someone.
Yeah, like Listerine.
Now, let's go back. You guys are laying on the bed. Gina has a mattress in her office. Tell my wife.
Oh, I have a full bed because Casper's awesome, and I have a Casper mattress, and I also have a bed in my office because I like to chill aggressively.
So, in a breakup, what do you think is the hardest decision to make?
Ooh.
I'm talking about a marriage, too, something that's...
Okay.
Or it could be any kind of relationship.
The first thing that comes to my mind is whether you should still be friends with their friends.
Interesting. That, by the way, is never the case.
Agreed.
In a divorce, friends choose a side.
And they say, I'm not going to choose sides, but then they just sort of fade away from one.
Yeah, no, they choose sides.
Okay.
It's just the way it is.
Okay, but that's not the one you're thinking of.
No.
Okay, give us the question again.
If you are in an involved relationship, uh-huh, or a marriage with somebody, let's even say there's kids.
Okay.
And you are going to break up, you are going to divorce, or just break up. What is the hardest decision to make?
Oh, I got another one. Mm-hmm. Who moves out?
do I get the house?
Not what I'm thinking. All of these have to be discussed, yes.
Yeah.
Kids.
To me, you know, in an uncontested divorce, the kids are going to be shared.
Mm-hmm.
So, no.
Money.
Money is always going to be dealt with.
Yeah. If it was the 80s and 90s, I'd say CD collection.
Is it sexy time?
No, we're breaking up.
I realize, but we've run out of a lot of options here.
Let me just recap what just happened. Katie looks at her father and says,
"Okay, but
is it sexy time?" To which her father responds, "No, we're breaking up." We don't know. Our hands are tied.
Who keeps the dog?
That's it.
Oh, Jackie, coming in for the win.
Because you're not going to share a dog, I don't think.
Yeah.
So who's going to get the dog?
Who took care of it more, I would say. Whoever took the most care of the dog gets to keep it.
Or who, like, if you, Mark, came into the relationship with Red, but Linda ended up taking care of Red more, you guys would be in a pickle.
Yeah.
Because you started with the dog.
Well, I mean, if the person who takes care of Red gets Red, that's Linda.
Yeah.
She takes care of that dog vehemently, but...
She sleeps in the damn office.
That's true. Yeah. She does.
She does. So that would be the big one. Who gets the dog?
Wow. I can't imagine... See, I've never had a dog in my life. I've never been a dog person until now with Tim. I can't imagine not seeing my little Goo-Goo.
I don't know what you would be more upset with. Goo-goo? Losing Red or losing Mom. Because I feel like Red and Mom, you know, you love Red.
For a finish.
So you're going to be like, which one's worse, losing?
Well, in hell, Linda says on her own Twitter bio, I love my dog more than my kids and my husband.
This is true.
Well, you know, the thing with dogs is they climb in there, and it's because they've got eyes. And they are depending on you for everything.
Yeah.
And you fall in love with them.
You do.
And hardest thing I've ever done in my life was put dogs down.
Oh, mm-hmm. See, the problem with this conversation is between all of us, we all have geriatric pets. So this is going to, God forbid, any of us have a rough year about this next year or beyond.
Which, by the way, I wanted to share a text from Linda. Do you remember we were discussing menagerie?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Menagerie is basically lingerie, but for men.
Fancy man panties.
Yeah, and you were... You were poking fun at me wearing satin and bows and the menagerie.
I was suggesting it.
And I just said, how gay is this conversation? Linda texted me after that and she goes, don't forget, Mark, you are 67% gay. And by that she means is that I am a pretty good decorator. I'm pretty good when it comes to curtains and this and that. All except everything but, you know.
Okay. Yep. I got the visual.
Holy cow.
So I'm 67% gay, and she's just reminding you.
Okay, well, that's your wife, so she'd know.
Maybe that means we're going to play with some menagerie.
And please, look me in the eye while you say that to me. And why would you look me in the eye? On that note, can I talk about where I'm going to be later?
I got to take a break, we're going to come back, and Katie's making an appearance this weekend, and we'll tell you where you can hook up with her. Let's take a look at trending. Here's Gina Grant.
Well, former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg took his kid gloves off when it came to Donald Trump during last night's DNC speech, with Bloomberg saying that he's from New York and he knows a con when he sees one. Facebook is seeing over the top quarterly earnings of $6.44 billion, and apparently that money is due to mobile advertising, so those little pop-ups on your phone, that's where they're getting so rich. And, oh my God, speaking of, you hate to hear it, Mark, a super creepy video has been released of a man breaking into a Chicago home and watching a couple sleep for 15 minutes.
Wow.
No.
The video's up on Mark in the Morning Facebook, and again, it's just creepy. I'm Gina Grant, and that's what's trending online. We speak to ABC 7 correspondent Alex Michelson all about the DNC behind the scenes, but first, this little ditty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's see how long it takes. Well,
sorry.
Well, now we know.
Yeah. Fleetwood Mac, baby, this is Mark in the Morning!
So while we were sitting in here just listening to that song, Mikey said, I'm not even sure why they let Christine McVie sing. And I'm not kidding. He actually said that.
He did say that, yeah. Sorry.
Those of you that are Fleetwood Mac fans.
I love Fleetwood Mac. I just like when Stevie sings.
Songbird, Mikey, songbird.
So Katie Kotz, chick on the street, appearing out and about in SoCal this weekend.
Nope, today.
Wow.
Yeah, today. Today you can come to Lifestyle Cycles between 12 and 2, not only to see me, but the first 50 people will get Yes tickets to see them at the
what
National Grove of Anaheim.
What's your favorite Yes song?
they're all like, yes, yes, yes. And then the guy comes in on the guitar and he's all like, I love that one. It's so good. You want to see some of that, come down to see me, be one of the first 50 people. There's motorcycles. It's apparently a mega store. It's apparently huge.
Nice. Ooh, yeah, I probably like that.
You should come by.
Take some pictures.
I will.
I got to go to your place.
It's true. Yeah, while I go and do the lifestyle cycles, I'm moving out.
Oh, yeah.
So,
my parents,
I was supposed to clean with them today, but I have to go do this. So, he's going to go and take down my Christmas tree.
Katie.
Did you hear what she just said? I'm taking down her Christmas tree.
It's okay. I decided to keep it up just for a few years. I kept it up for a few years, but it's dusty. It's time for it to go. So please go clean my apartment while I'm at Lifestyle Cycles.
All right, so check her out, Lifestyle Cycles. It's on State College Boulevard, where the 91 freeway meets the 57 in Anaheim. That is today from noon to 2?
Yep.
Noon to 2.
Yep.
Check her out.
I'll be there.
All right, let's let Jackie engage him for me, won't you? Let's welcome in from ABC7, Alex Michelson. He is at the DNC. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Mark. And I just want to say, for the record, I love Christine McVie.
Now everything's in balance again. Yeah.
So, Alex, just based on the sheer power of speakers, the DNC has been a lot more entertaining than the Republican National Convention.
Well, ratings seem to reflect that. I just thought that ratings for the DNC are 15% higher than they were for the RNC. Wow. And one of the reasons for that is the RNC was essentially a one-man show. Donald Trump was the show. It was Donald Trump and Donald Trump's kids and Melania Trump and then a sort of strange speech from Ted Cruz. Whereas the DNC is an ensemble. You've got President Obama, Vice President Biden, they hope the future Vice President Tim Kaine, Mike Bloomberg, all speaking last night, all who could have been primetime speakers on their own on a different night. Plus, we've heard speeches from Bill Clinton and Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, and tonight the headlining speech from Hillary Clinton. The challenge for Hillary Clinton, of course, is of all those speakers, Hillary Clinton herself would tell you she probably ranks last in terms of her speaking ability and in terms of her popularity as a speaker. So the challenge for her is that all those other speakers have set a bar really, really high, and now she has to be the finale act and hope that her speech doesn't kind of fall flat after what has been a really incredible building momentum for the Democrats.
And, speaking offensively, listen, Alex, I'm the wrong guy to be involved in this conversation because I do not understand politics. I don't even really like it. But if there was a thought, an offensive movement to the DNC, it seems to me that that would be tear down Trump.
Tear down that wall. They're trying to. And Tim Kaine really went after that tonight. And tonight, from what we're hearing in terms of what the Clinton campaign just said this morning, is that tonight is going to be all about contrast. They're going to use the phrase that it's the election is a reckoning moment for America. That you have this extraordinary choice. And President Obama talked about that a lot as well. This feeling that some of the Bernie Sanders supporters say that the two of them are the same and we're going to support a third party candidate. The president really trying to make that point that, well, no, they're not. And elections matter and decisions are made in the room and you've got to pick one of these two. Bill Maher has said often on his show, even though you want the steak, you got to eat the chicken. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the situation that President Obama making the point last night that even if you don't agree with Hillary Clinton on every issue, she's still better on most issues than Donald Trump. But a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters still don't like Hillary Clinton. They were holding up signs yesterday, silent protests against the TPP, which is this trade deal that President Obama is pushing that they are against and Bernie Sanders is against. And so what's not clear is these people that didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, that don't like Hillary Clinton, that aren't going to vote for Hillary or say they're not going to vote for Hillary Clinton, what are they going to do when Hillary Clinton walks into the room tonight? That's one of the the sort of unscripted, potentially moments of drama that we got to look for tonight.
Well, the one thing I can say, living in Southern California all these years that I have, is that ABC7 does a great job with this stuff. So if you want to see the latest, the newest, Alex is actually in the city, in the event, watching it and covering it for you. So go to ABC7 and check it out. Alex, I so appreciate you finding time to speak with us. I know you're busy, but it really meant a lot. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, it's been a pleasure for me. I'm a fan of the show, and anybody's interested in watching, we'll be on at 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, and 11.
Ooh,
so we'll be busy, but there's going to be a lot of talk about tonight, and thank you guys so much for the invitation.
Really he's the care. Hardest working ABC7 reporter out there, Alex Michelson. There is trouble in Lilo Land. Lindsay Lohan went on a bizarre social media rant accusing her fiancé Igor Tarabasov of being unfaithful and then hinting that she's pregnant.
Oh, God.
It began on Snapchat last Friday where she said, quote, my fiancé's being really angry at me, but I'm drinking water to get him to come home. Come home, honey.
What?
Yeah. Then the next day, she accused him of hooking up with a Russian hooker. Who was actually fashion designer Dasha Pistanan at a party. An hour later, Lindsay tweeted a photograph of herself from her 2009 movie Labor Pains about a young woman who pretends to be pregnant. Lindsay's Labor Pains trainer, quote, I am pregnant. And then the next day, she apologized for all of it.
That's perfectly normal. Everything you said is totally right on track.
Yeah. Lindsay, this billionaire, this Russian, this is your best shot.
Yeah.
This is your best shot. Or it's just not going to go well. So drink all the water you can. Let's get this dude home. Okay, so Gina is the busiest bitch out there.
Thank you.
She does this show. She does Corolla. She's driving all over the place. Yeah. Tim, her live-in boyfriend, normally makes the dinner, but no. Last night, Gina did.
Well, something that you may or may not know about me is I'm obsessed with casseroles. They're like my favorite thing to make. I like the one pot shop. I like the soups or the casseroles. He likes to do the side dishes and the fancy. And the, No. Anything that can go in one pan, I'm super happy about. So last night, I made baked chicken risotto.
Ooh.
With mushrooms and onions and zucchini. Now, look at that picture. Tell me that doesn't look delicious.
It looks great.
Thank you. And it was. Now, the secret, which I'm super into right now. Do you know what? You remember when kale was the thing?
Yeah.
And then Brussels sprouts were the thing.
Wait, I thought it still was.
It's still, but now Brussels sprouts is a thing. Guess what the newest thing is in the vegetable world?
I'm ready.
Riced cauliflower.
I heard about it. You mentioned this the other day.
So I'm super into it. So instead of risotto rice, I actually use riced cauliflower. So
wow.
It's healthy and delicious.
So what brought about this? What motivated this moment of cooking?
Sometimes I just drive home and I'm like, he deserves one meal. Stopped off at the old TJ's, threw it in a pan, and Bob's your uncle. We ate dinner.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm a fan of and always have been is crock pots.
Oh, it's the best. That's the winter version of this. It's the best.
Yeah, crock pots are pretty great in that, like, you go to Honey Baked Ham, you get whatever soup.
Right.
It comes in a bag, and then you go get the ham bone.
Yes.
Then you just throw it in there in the morning, and you come back. What is my, it's a bean, something.
Navy bean.
Something. And that ham bone.
Oh.
It's been cooking for 8 hours on low.
Yeah.
And you get home from work, and that crap is frick. And then you get a big chunk of that ham.
Yeah. That's what we do after Christmas, because I have Christmas now because of my boyfriend. So he gets a big ham, and then whatever we don't use, I make split pea soup with ham in it in the crock pot.
Ooh.
Yes.
Pretty tasty.
Yes.
Loving life.
Thank you.
And by the way, if Brussels sprouts are all that, they're bitter to me. Brussels sprouts are bitter.
Mark.
Brussels sprouts.
You're just not using enough butter.
Mm-hmm. Or salt and pepper.
Doesn't that take away from the healthy thing?
No, butter's great. Yeah. Ask your cardiologist.
Yeah. All right, so earlier this week we read where Don Knotts, they were erecting a statue to him in his hometown. And I made the comment, well, it better be Barney Fife. And these three, Mikey, Gina, Danny, they jumped. No, it's got to be Mr.
Furley from Three's Company,
which I never watched. I never did any of that. I did this.
bouncing in your seat.
While you were doing this.
Yeah!
Such a bad theme song.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are
hers and hers and his. Please come and meet you.
So,
come and dance on our door.
Isn't this Alan Thicke singing, right?
I hope so.
I think it was Alan Thicke who did this song. I might be wrong.
Hey, I don't think you're right. It doesn't sound like Alan. Let's go back.
I'll Google it.
Come and knock on our door.
It doesn't sound like him.
It might be another TV show.
Wait. I think you're right. I Googled it, and it just came up. Alan Thicke and Julie Rinker, Three's Company.
Yep.
Hang on.
Wow.
That's not him. Hang on.
That's reason enough to vote for Mr. Furley.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. No, that's going to bring up too much. Hang on. Stay there. Somebody say something.
All right. I'm looking at Wikipedia, but that crap takes too long. Mm-hmm. Wait, do you have a definitive answer about this? What are you doing?
I'm trying to find. I thought I had two versions of this.
Game shows, talk shows, theme song composer.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
It's the same. That's
same
not him.
Singer's just different version of the song. Danny has the answer.
Wait, Danny's here.
Well, Wikipedia says by Ray Charles.
What?
Opening theme.
Well, he wrote it. Maybe he didn't.
Performed by Ray Charles. Maybe not the Ray Charles.
All right.
No.
That's not the Ray
this
Charles
Ray Charles
we're thinking of.
Oh.
No.
He's white.
Yeah, it's not
so
the right one.
So all of you all week have been texting either Fife or Furley to 21003. We're now, before we go to the frenzy, the Fife-Furley frenzy, that's going to be nuts, we're going to learn the result of the poll. Mikey.
All right. Hurts. It wasn't even close from the moment it started. Fife won 92% to 8%. However, it was 94% for a long time until yesterday, and then people started texting. So Furley had a good, you know, final day, but Furley still lost.
It's beyond lost. It was a dismantling. It wasn't even close.
Yeah. Just,
our audience is 90 years old.
You heard it.
No, it's just that Barney Fife, Mikey was the only one that took... Katie, check this out.
Yep.
Mikey was the only one that took my homework seriously. Yeah. Mikey went and watched the Andy Griffith Show, Barney and the Choir.
And what did you think?
It was funny. It was good. But I like Don Knotts when he's wacky and slapstick and saying funny things. And it was like a subtle version of Don Knotts, in my opinion.
I'm just going to say it. I'm tired of it. I'm just going to say it.
Yep.
Three's Company was garbage.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It was crap on television. It was.
Wow.
Garbage on television.
John Ritter was a comic genius on that show. How dare you?
And you love John Ritter.
I love John Ritter as a person, but that show was really, how long since you've seen one?
It's been a few years.
It's on all the time
TV
Land.
Danny, you want to be on a mic?
Oh, I'm just saying, it's on all the time on TV Land and Nick and Knight. It gets way more airplay than Andy Griffith, and it holds up, surprisingly.
It doesn't hold up.
The sunken living room, the orange theme.
Two girls and a guy?
Yeah.
Struggling to come up with $300 rent in a two-bedroom, one-bathroom apartment?
Yeah.
In Santa Monica?
Yeah.
On the beach?
Wow.
The Regal Beagle?
Yeah.
All right. Where is the frenzy?
We got it right
Mikey's
here.
Mikey's got it.
Oh, wait. And before you do it, I just, a friend of mine, Dave Rubin, just said he's pretty sure that Alan Thicke wrote the theme song but didn't sing it. And he also, according to my friend Dave, wrote the Facts of Life theme song.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go.
I need those questions answered. Okay. I want to make sure of that. We need to find that out tomorrow.
All right. Yeah.
All right. So what you're about to hear now is the Barney Fife, Mr. Furley frenzy. Danny put this together. All of this, of course, is in tribute to the great Don Knotts.
Hey, you look like you just lost your last friend. Both of them. Oh, did you girls have a spat?
Gay jokes. Funny.
Constitution of the United States.
Just give me the first word and then I'll know the rest.
Okay, we.
We.
I'm looking right at you.
Mr. Frilly, what can I do for you?
You don't happen to have any guavas around, do you?
No, I have some bananas.
No, I need a guava for this new diet I'm on. Supposed to turn me into a real powerhouse.
It's a string bean, you get it?
I know what you're thinking. I am one already. But a body like this doesn't just happen, you know. I gotta keep working at it. All right, what's the emergency?
I can't open that window.
This is mostly Furley.
No.
Jack.
It is.
Mostly funny.
That's what I said, women.
Gay jokes, man.
United. We the people of the United
States.
Flag? Breathe. Wind. Wave. Star.
States.
We the people of the United States.
Mr. Furley.
Oh my God, it's true.
Oh, Jack's,
Jack, why
Jack,
you?
Jack's pretending to be dead.
Jenna, please, not now. Oh, he was so young. So alive. Couldn't you give him any more time?
Jack sneezed and fell.
Now you know he's alive.
There was a misunderstanding, Mark.
There's no misunderstanding.
You don't get it.
This calls for action, and now, nip it in the bud.
And secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. You want to run through that again, or do you think you got it?
I got it.
Good job, Daddy.
He's funny.
It was
there,
a little
Barney.
Biased toward Furley.
You
but,
laughed at the Three's Company one.
Because that whole thing, I'm looking for a guava, yeah. that is a complete Barney Fife. He had been doing that on Andy. So for him, that was dusting off an old joke. Mm.
Maybe we're all right.
Isn't that what they like, basically? They like our Barney Fife, who's just acting. Like, he's the same character, essentially. And Barney Fife was first.
Barney Fife, I mean, it was clear. What was it, 92 to 8?
That doesn't mean anything.
Oh,
it really doesn't.
Oh, excuse me, person who just got your ass kicked in. Of course it does.
Yeah, it means something.
Everybody who texted, and we did it for days and days and days, and 92% of the people listened to this show.
Here's the thing.
I'm talking. 8% of people said Furley. Live with that crap.
Whatever. You know what?
Yeah, he's just going to keep trailing off.
Your people, your age group, they text. Our age group, we don't text. We Snapchat. We tweet.
Excuse me. Was the voting poll on Snapchat? I don't think so.
No. If we did this on Snapchat, nobody would probably vote, actually, because nobody on Snapchat knows what Three's Company or Andy Griffith is. But whatever. I digress. It's because your age group... They know what they text now. We don't.
All you've done this time, Mikey, is along with getting your ass kicked, is offended every person who listens to this show. That's all you've done.
Yeah, I know. I love them all, though.
Oh, shut
this?
Up.
I'll fix it. Mark, we humbly accept your victory and our defeat.
Yeah, come on, Katie.
Yes!
Yes!
What she said.
Let's find out what is trending. Here is Miss Grad.
Thank you very much. Oh, and you were like a Barker's Beauty, how you pointed at me.
That was really nice. Yes, thank you.
Well, Vice Presidential nominee Tim Kaine showed a bit more of his personality last night at the DNC when he broke from his nice guy persona and trotted out his fancy new Trump impression. Here's a sample.
Trump is a guy who promises a lot, but you might have noticed he's got a way of saying the same two words every time he makes his biggest, hugest promises. Believe me. It's going to be great. Believe me. We're going to build a wall and make Mexico pay for it. Believe me. We're going to destroy ISIS so fast. Believe me. There's nothing suspicious in my tax returns. Believe me.
He really went for it. I think he was really practicing in front of the mirror on that one.
Did it work?
Yeah, everybody laughed. When you see someone who's that not funny try to be, you know, do something humorous, it's refreshing. I think everybody got a kick out of it.
Did you like him? Did he come off good?
Yeah, you know, he's just such an aw shucks nice guy from Kansas City and Minnesota and Virginia that I think that, if we can even call that a little bit of an edge, I think that that won over some of the
okay.
of the people. Yeah,
all right, good.
So good for Tim Kaine. According to two separate studies published in the British Journal of Psychology, people who are more charitable tend to have more sex than those who are not charitable.
I heard about this.
Yeah. So both studies found that men who are charitable typically had more sex partners in their lifetime. So if you're a little stingy, science says that throwing some free money around may help your chances between the sheets. Mark, what you charitable man?
Well, what if I started now?
Well, that's between you and your doctor, your urologist. I'm not really sure. But from the sound of it, from you're quite active in your relationship, so you must be cutting quite a lot of checks to a lot of organizations.
To be honest with you, Linda and I threw out, having been lucky enough, we are very charitable on an annual basis.
And charitable sexually.
I'm married to a whore. It's no other way around that.
Yeah, well, she's charitable. And if you're looking to make a career change, consider throwing your hat into the ring to become a beer historian at the Smithsonian. It's a real job. They're currently looking for a candidate to travel and drink craft beers all over the country for the next 3 years. And by the way, get paid for it. The yearly salary is $64,650 plus benefits. Bye, Mikey.
I'm gone. See you guys.
Well, I don't think you get to come home. I think you're on the road for 3 straight years.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I think he's, yeah.
Can I bring the wife with me?
Yeah, you have to split
the
money.
Am I the employer? Am I the one hiring? I got nothing.
But you're working for the Smithsonian, which makes you sound fancy. It looks good on a business card.
It does look great.
And you're drinking all day. So get cracking, everybody. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is Cheap Trick.
It's a good kind of tired. Exhausted, but good. Thursday show done. All we got for Friday, or for weekend is Friday. And Uncle Joe stands ready to leap.
Leap indeed. And I don't care if you wash your hands or not. The sooner you die, the sooner I get your parking spot.
Wow!
So I just want to make that clear right now. Love you. Love you.
What's in it for me?
Ah, music from a beautiful year. That's what we have coming up here, the 10 of 10. The year that Queen and Bad Company and Backman Turner Overdrive and Rush all debuted. What year would that be?
Witness the Queen. So we're talking. Wait, what about. I like 74.
Very close. 72.
Oh,
crap.
You got it right. And Gina had nothing for us today, Gina.
I'm still thinking about Mr. Furley.
1972 is our featured year. Great year for music. Got it coming up. The Sounds 10 of 10.
All right, tomorrow we have, of course, Gray Drake, Jason Bourne. Matt Damon is back. We were talking about that. 5 seconds for $45.
Insane.
What else we got?
We have Ed Asner.
Okay, so join us tomorrow, won't you? Mikey, it's your turn.
All right. This song is, I can't say anything bad about this song. One of the greatest songs ever written, one by U2 on Mark in the Morning.
Oh, sure, podcasting is great, but have you heard about this new invention that puts Mark in the Morning directly in your car each weekday morning? Yeah, it's called FM radio. And you'll find Mark in the Morning there on 100.3 FM in Southern California. Thanks for listening.